Chapter 1 shouldn't be really hard to find. If you make it to Revelation, you need to back up. Means you done went too far. It's real easy. It's the second book. Exodus. Chapter 1, if you can stand, please do in reverence of God's word. If you can't, that's okay. You don't have to stand to read the word, but it is nice if you can. Exodus chapter 1, and we'll read all the way to 22. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, man. No, I better go. That's where that come from. No, I don't know. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the wives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather in your house to start out the new year. What a blessed place to be on the new year. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord God, we ask that you would reach down with your mighty arm and your hand, and you would grasp us, and Lord, help us to stand and live daily for you. Lord, the arm of flesh will fail us, but Lord, we know yours will not. Lord, we ask that If there is someone in the sound of my voice this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they would come to know you. And we thank you for it. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. And for his sake I pray, amen. You may be seated. A new year, same old path. Jeremiah 6:16, I'm going to read this. You can go over there if you would like to. Jeremiah 6:16. This is our, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Theme verse for wagon wheel and should be forever. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. A new year, same old path. New year, though, new ideas. With a new year, it always comes lots of new things, lots of new changes. But as I just read, the way of the Lord, it never changes. It will stay the same until we're out of here. It's never going to change. It will keep right on being with the old paths. They may change the word of God. They may change their preaching. They might change the names of churches. They might drop things off of the name of churches. But listen, the word will never change. It will always be there. I want to talk about one particular verse for a minute. Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 1, it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. That's an important verse. It's also over in Acts chapter 7, verse 18, Paul was preaching and he used that. So verse 8, we need to look at. There's a lot of questions on who this king was. Was he an Egyptian? Was there a war? And was there a king that come in that wasn't Egyptian? Listen, I'm going to go with what the Bible says. It says there arose up a new king over Egypt. I'll just stick to that. Now, until this new king came along, everyone, all the Egyptians, all of the Israelites, they all knew who Joseph was. They knew what Joseph had done. Now, if you don't know what Joseph did, I'll give you an update real quick. What happened is there was a famine in the land, and so the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he had a dream, and nobody could interpret it except for old Joseph. They went and got him out of prison, and it's an awesome story about it over in Genesis. And he interpreted the dream, and he said, there's going to be 7 years of just everything's going to be great. It's all going to go really good, and everybody's going to prosper, and farming's going to be super good. But then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he says, okay. He said, you interpreted. He said, and basically it worked into Joseph said, and I know what you need to do, old Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, what? He told him. He said, you need to store up, and then you're going to charge, and which is going to make him really rich. Well, Pharaoh's all for that. And so the Pharaoh bragged on Joseph, but Joseph let him know. He said, this is not from me. It's from God. It's from the big G God. See, Pharaoh was a god. I don't forget how many gods they had in Egypt. They had a lot of them. But Pharaoh was the main one. And so he told him that. And Pharaoh says, I'm going to put you in charge. He said, other than me, you're going to be the greatest person in Egypt. So now how do you forget somebody like that? You know, you got to ask yourself, how in the world did they really just forget it? But they did. And when this new king came along, at that point, before that, everybody knew of Joseph. Everybody knew of his God. But somewhere in that time, the truth and the stories about it, how God used Joseph to keep the Egyptians alive and the Israelites alive, it grew cold. And then eventually it was just forgotten. Nobody talked about it no more. You see, now that brings to mind Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. It says in there, and I'm going to paraphrase, Abraham is going to be, his seed is going to be blessed. And there's going to be a great nation come out of him. Not to mention the Savior, Jesus Christ, would come through his lineage. And it says in there that everybody that blesses him and his people will be blessed. And anybody that curses them will not be. But see, we see in this story how we read that when a nation forgets God, wickedness takes over. And God's people, they do suffer. And we see that in this story. Now, the Egyptians, they were wicked people. They practiced forced abortion, I'll call it. They also accepted all of the immorality that was out there. The Egyptians were not the best folk in the world. Matter of fact, in the Bible, when it talks about Egypt, it's comparing it to the world. So anytime we see that, that's what we realize, is it's comparing Egypt to the world, because, or the world to Egypt, because Egypt was a wicked place and had lots of problems. They accepted just whatever lifestyle. Now, compare this to the United States. Somewhere between, we were discussing this last night at our fellowship, somewhere in the 1900s, probably around World War I, from there on out, things have been changing. World War I, and I've been told this, and I also read it one time. During World War I, they were fighting, and Christmas Day, they quit fighting each other, came up out of their foxholes and greeted each other, and they had prayer, and they ate together. And that sounds kind of strange, but they put their guns down, and they just set it all aside, because it was a special day. It was the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and they really believed that. Now, after that, things started going downhill. Things started changing drastically until what we have now. You see, God has been placed on the back burner, and really and truly, he's been forgotten in the majority of the world. And the United States is not very far behind, just totally forgetting. Go over to 2 Timothy. They've pulled, well, when I went to school, and I know that's been a long time ago. Don't be saying amen. Who said that? Yeah, see how he is? You're older than I am. You see, when I went to school, we had every morning, there was prayer in school. We did Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They read the Bible in school over the loudspeaker. They didn't ask you what your religion was. It's no big issue. They read the Bible. It was an accepted thing that you do that. Somewhere along the line, one woman, by the way, Madeline O'Hare, wasn't that her name, got prayer taken out of school. One woman. You ever wondered how in the world that took place? One woman got prayer removed from school. It had nothing to do with her. Bless her heart, she thought she was something special. It was all Satan is what it was. It's just like the powers that be right now. They really think that they're in control. They ain't in control of nothing. Satan's got all of this going the way he wants to, because listen, the Lord has handed it over to him. He is the God of this world. And so all of these things take place, and all these people think, oh, what awesome power I have. And honestly, they ain't got nothing. There's not a one of them has any idea how many hairs are in their head. They can't add not a fraction to their stature. They have no power whatsoever, but they think they are. They're deceived, because that's what Satan does. He deceives us into that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. we're going to, if things doesn't change here real soon, we'll probably see some real persecution. There is persecution in the world. It's very intense in certain countries. In North Korea, you don't mention Jesus. In China, they years ago, they dropped a bunch of flyers. And all it was a piece of paper, and it had this little scribblings all over it, and you couldn't tell what it was. Then later, they dropped a bunch of magnifying glasses. It was the entire Bible on one piece of paper. It was amazing. And they could read the Bible. And we have a hard time reading large print. But anyway, I won't go there. So there's going to be some persecution, I believe, in this country coming real soon. There already is to a point. You go to school. I've been told several years ago that you could take anything to school pretty much you wanted to, just don't take a Bible. You take a Bible to school, they'd ask you to take it home. Now, that's a shame, but now I could bring the Quran, or I could bring whatever other Bible I wanted, as they call it a Bible, but I couldn't bring the Holy Bible. I couldn't, especially a King James. You couldn't bring that. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're seeing that in our world today. We have been drastically over the past years, but just in the past few years, it has really taken off. Now, this is what it says in verse 14, though. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, I see changes, okay? I see some changes. Some are good, some are bad. I see some things coming. But it's not going to change. It's not going to stop what God's Word has already revealed to us. I've read the end of the book. I know where it's going. And it doesn't matter who's in charge. It don't matter who gets into office. It doesn't matter who's ruling what country. Nonetheless, the Bible is going to happen. The prophecies in the Bible that have not happened yet will happen. One of these days, there will be a rapture. All of the saved are going to be called up out of here. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Nobody's going to realize what took place. Not going to be some guy out there that said, who's that standing up there? What's going on? They're not going to notice. It's going to happen. Now, they're going to believe a lie of a man called the Antichrist. And there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period on this earth. That's already, it's already written down in the Word of God. It will happen. Everybody, I've had these people years ago, oh God, the end of the world's coming. And I was preaching in the jails in Kentucky when I was living there for a bit. And I went in one day and this guy, he's just falling apart. And I said, man, what is wrong with you? He said, the end of the world's going to be here December. I don't forget what the day was. And he says, I'm not going to get out and go see my kids and my wife. And he said, I'm supposed to get out in January. And I said, dude, I said, you need to quit panicking. I said, the end of the world ain't coming. I said, for at least 1,007 years. He said, well, how do you know that? I said, because the Bible says so. I said, there's got to be a rapture that takes place. We have no idea what it's going to be. It could be today. There ain't nothing got to happen before that rapture takes place. Nothing. Don't let anybody try to fool you and say, well, this has got to take place. And it, no, it does not. Nothing has to happen. The rapture will take place, and then there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. At the end of that 7 years, Christ and all of us are going to come back to this earth that we live on right now. We're going to be in a glorified body just like Christ. You'll be able to walk through a wall, sit down, and eat fish. That sounds far-fetched, but that's what the Word of God says. I believe it as much as I believe I'm standing here. And I know I'm standing here. Yeah, I'm here. It's going to happen. Then after that, there will be 1,000 years while we're living here with Christ, ruling and reigning, whatever's going on, and there will be normal folk here. We're not going to be normal. You ever been called, you ever had anybody tell you you're not normal? I've been told that most of my life. You know, you're not normal. My wife says, you're not right. You need looked after. And I'm like, that's why I got you. Lord placed there in my life to look after me because I need looking after. But listen, you're seriously not going to be normal, not according to the world standards. We're going to be different. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then he arose, when he walked in the room, the doors were shut. And it didn't say, hey, Thomas, get the door, because Thomas wasn't there anyway. No, he just appeared in there, sat down and ate with them. He was not normal. They looked at him as far as the world standards, and they're like, there's something wrong. He said, touch me. I'm real. See, that's what we're going to be, and it's going to be different. Now, after that 1,000-year reign, there's going to be a little short time when dingbat Satan is going to try again, and he just don't learn. He's like some kids I know, but anyway, he just don't learn. Do you realize what we read in Exodus? Where it said Pharaoh wanted all the male babies killed. It had nothing to do with the number of the children of Israel. It didn't have, now, it was in his mind, but it had nothing to do with that. It was all about trying to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, when they did it again, later in years, that's all it was about, was trying to keep the Messiah from coming. Because he knew that when that happens, something's going to change. And she wasn't sure what it was. And if he had figured it out, he'd have done everything in his power, according to the Word of God, to stop the crucifixion of Christ. But he had no idea. He finally got Christ in the courtroom, and he says, oh, I've got him now. And they put him on the cross, and guess what? Fooled again. Because he's brilliantly stupid. But you see, all of these things are going to take place. There's going to be the 7 years, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then there's going to be a short little span to where Satan's going to gather up his people. Can you imagine people living on this earth can come face to face with Jesus Christ and they will not trust him? He's going to gather up his armies again and go against Christ, and he's going to be ended. When that happens, this old world that we know of is going to be destroyed. It's going to be changed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But until then, verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. We need to continue serving the Lord in these last days. We have to continue doing what we're doing. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, we come to church. Every day we pray for our meals, at least I hope you do. If you're in a restaurant, you ought to stop and pray for your meal. Let people look at you funny. Who cares? Listen, in 100 years, I ain't going to care what they thought of me. I don't care now, but in 100 years, I sure won't. It's not going to matter. You continue doing everything that we're doing, being that shining light for people out here in a dark world, because listen, our testimony in 2023, you have no idea how many people. Your testimony, your example in a restaurant, your example in Walmart or wherever you may lead someone to the Lord. Well, how can that be? Trust me. If they see it in you and they start searching, God opens their eyes and they realize. And they'll get saved. It's our testimony, the way we treat people, the way we treat each other. They need to see that. They need to see the love in us because they don't see it in the world. Now, over in Daniel 12:4, and I won't go over there, but it says in the last days, it says there's going to be a super amount of knowledge, things are going to move faster and faster. We're seeing that already. You see, in the last days, the knowledge will increase. This knowledge has showed has slowed down the work of the Lord, to be honest with you. Our doctors are super smart. We've got, well, I don't have it up here no more. We got smartphones that'll do anything you want. You can, in 5 minutes on a smartphone, I can see more than my grandparents saw in a lifetime. I can study more. If I got a question, man, I can pull up a Bible just with the touch of my finger. It's got all kind of commentaries on it. I can listen to messages from whoever I want to listen to. I can dig up whatever I want to know. The other day, I'm working on my pickup Saturday. And I've changed my spark plugs. And I'm going to change this little valve called a PCV valve. Just a little bitty thing. It's like $10. And you just pop it out, throw it away, put another one in, put the hose back on. It's that simple. No. Some ignorant nut down at General Motors decided about 2009 or 2010, we're going to make that part of the valve cover itself. I didn't know. I've always just popped it out, throw it away, put the new one in. Oh, no. No, they made it really simple. I struggled and struggled and struggled trying to get it off, and that's why I'm wearing a Band-Aid, because bolts and skin don't go together. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, YouTube. 2012 Chevy 5.3. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's it. It's what? It's made into the valve cover. $80 valve cover. I got to pull off the coils. I got to pull off all kind of nuts and bolts. Throw that one away and put a new one on for a part that big. And I'm like, not today. I put it all back together real quickly and shut the hood, cranked it up, runs good. I ain't worried about it. But listen, we've got technology that is unreal. Used to, I had to sit down. I hated reading when I was a kid. Reading was like, I mean, the newspaper was too much trouble. I didn't even want to read a cartoon. I had things to do. I had fishing and horses and cows, and I had things to do. I didn't have time to sit and read. But I had to have an imagination. They don't have to have an imagination now. Kids have no idea what to do with themselves. You leave a kid alone in a room, make sure it's a rubber room if there ain't nothing in there for them to do, because they're going to kill themselves. They ain't got a clue what. Man, we would go out and I'd take gasoline. We had it laying around because you put it in lawnmowers. And I'd take that out there and pour it in ant beds and make a little stream and light it up. Had my little army men out there, and I'd make little bombs out of firecrackers and boom, and I had them blow up my hand one time. You don't do John Wayne style with a firecracker. It don't work. You know, it was imagination, but kids have no imagination no more. They pull it up on the phone and they watch it. I walk around through the grocery store and there ain't a little kid in there that can't run an iPhone. And I struggle with it. And they walk around and with the mom and they all this mess going on. Mom ain't got a clue. The kid ain't got a clue. It's hard to say if they even know who their mom is. It's sad. We live in a world that all of this technology has really, really taken off, but it's not good. And I believe the abundance of the worldly knowledge at our fingertips restricts our vision for the things of the Lord. Now, I'm going to go into that in a minute. It restricts our goals, to be honest with you, and our vision. You see, in Amos chapter 8, here, let me read that one. In the book of Amos chapter 8, Somewhere I got Amos marked. One of these little red things. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We're in those days. Moms and grandparents and people, they don't have time to sit down and read the Bible anymore because they're too busy on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatever else they got out there. TikTok. If you got TikTok, get rid of that out of hell mess. That's exactly what it is. I've seen it take one, two, three, four. I've seen it take four females. Three of them's lesbians now, and one thinks she's a boy. I'm like, are you serious? And it's all due. I'm going to name you three major ones. No, I know five. TikTok. TikTok. Disney. And Harry Potter. I know people that's got into all three of them. I've got a niece that's what they live their life for. Dressed up for that mess. Worshipped the world of Disney. Listened to TikTok constantly. And I ain't even going to tell you how far off the deep end she's went. Well, I can tell you part of it. She's decided that there ain't no God, and if parents can't accept her the way she is, so be it, leave me alone. They don't even know where she's at. That's sad. But it's all due to them three right there that we all think is so great. Listen, Disney is out of the pits of hell. Get rid of it. Get rid of TikTok. Don't be dealing with the Harry Potter mess. It's wrong. It's evil. And it will affect you. And if you don't believe me, continue in it and see what happens. You see, we must not fall for the subtle attacks of Satan. Because he's good. That word subtle means fine, delicate. And its meaning is difficult to perceive and to understand it. At first, it seems okay. And it seems, little bits in here and there. It's okay. It's not bad. But you give it time. Listen, I'm going to be up front with you. A shot of Jack Daniels ain't bad. But it ain't long before you drink the whole fifth. Now you got problems. I know people that, I don't have a problem with alcohol. But they drink while they're by themselves. Listen, years ago when I used to go drinking, I ain't drink alone. Oh, that's a song, ain't it? I drink alone. George Thorogood. I'm telling off on myself. Look, when I drank, I went out for a purpose and drank. It was to get drunk and party and have fun with all these friends. They were all doing the same stupid stuff. And then we'd all lay around the next day thinking, we had lots of fun last night, though. Of course, I can't remember most of it. Drugs. Everybody got this idea drugs is the way to go. No, it's not. It all deceives people, and at first it's okay, but then the truth starts coming out, and they don't show the splattered brains up and down the highway from somebody that was drunk. It's not their brains. It's Sally Jane and her three kids that he hit head on. You see, they don't show you all of that. They don't tell you about what drugs do to a person. They don't show you the after effects of methamphetamine, what it does. Look it up. It's disgusting. But people get on that mess, and it's a problem. You see, it's all hid. It looks good to start with, but it turns really bad. Now, in America, we're seeing the same stuff that we were doing, Egypt and Israel were doing back in Exodus. King comes along that ain't got no idea who Joseph was, what he did, or who God is and what God did. He comes along, they forgot it. Somewhere along the line, they quit telling people. They quit telling all about it. You know what they were busy doing? About what we're busy doing now. We've got sitcoms of the Real Housewives. I could give a flip about the Real Housewives. They ain't real housewives. They're gold diggers that found the right guy, so they ain't got to do nothing. I'm telling you what a real house, we got some real housewives here in this church that raised their children, that actually took care of their children, actually nursed. They didn't have people in their nursery in their home. Listen, our home didn't have a nursery. Actually, it did. It was my bedroom. They got all of these sitcoms pushing the LGBTQ garbage. They got all of that going on. And Hollywood pushes it, and woke and cancel, and all of that's starting to backfire on them. Praise the Lord. But listen, that junk, it looks good to start with. But that's what's happening. Do you talk about God? No. You can mention God to a point, but that God covers all gods. Just don't talk about Jesus. You talk about Jesus, you get in trouble. You want to get fired from your job, or you want to get in big trouble, go downtown and start talking about Jesus. You'll get in trouble. You'll get problems. You see, that's what happened to Egypt. Egypt quit discussing God. They quit discussing what God had done through Joseph. The same thing we've done. We've lost that part. Now we've got schools that bring drag queens into class to read to five-year-olds. Drag queen. Listen, if a drag queen had walked in the school where I was at 6 years old, my dad would have come in right behind him and would have drug him out and beat him to a pulp, if not worse. That's no joke. You let me catch some drag queen or whatever coming around one of my granddaughters. You won't need the cops. They'll just need the coroner. I ain't going to deal with it. I never have, and I ain't going to deal with it now. It's strange. It's not right. But America is pushing that garbage, shoving it in people's faces, and we're forgetting God. Now, we're this close to sweeping Israel under the carpet. When we do, you better buckle up, because it's going to be a problem. We just think it's wicked. It's going to be a terrible thing. We've got to have a goal, and we've got to have a vision. Go to Proverbs 29. That's over there. If you find Psalm, keep heading west. You guys would go north. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And I know you've all heard this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, the reason I've separated visions from goals, we need goals for the new year, not resolutions, not, well, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. No, you ain't. Just say, look, I'm going to try to cut back and lose some weight. Maybe you will. Don't buy Duke's Mayo. It's good stuff. It's cost me 2.5 extra pounds, but I like it. It's a good dip, too, called Duke's, D-U-K-E-S. Get it, Smith? If you like twang mayo, man, it puts Blue Plate to shame. It's good stuff. Anyway, don't make these silly resolutions. Just say, you know what? We need some goals in wagon wheel. We need some goals in our individual lives. We need some goals in our family lives, our home life. We need to have those goals, and they need to be based around the Lord Jesus Christ. Not around all of the garbage the world offers, but it needs to be based upon God. Everything else needs to work around God. God should be in the center of it and come first, and in everything else, if you got time, that's what you do. I'll just be up front with you. That's the way we need to live our lives. Now, goals are a good thing. But you see, this verse I just read you really has nothing to do with goals. A lot of people talk and preach it. Oh, we got to have a vision out there. Actually, we compare it to a goal, but really, that's not what it is. Goals are good to have, and we need to have them. Homes need to have them, because I'm going to be up front with you. If you don't have goals, the result is not good. You need standards in your homes. If you don't have standard, if you don't have a standard in your home that you stand behind and support, you'll fall for anything. You will. It'll fall apart. Your home won't be worth a flip. It will fall apart. You see, vision in this verse, it means divine revelation. It's the Word of God. It's our guidelines for now and for the future. It's not a set of goals or ideas. Vision in this verse means the divine revelation, means the Word of God right here. We've got to have that Word of God right here. That word perish, it's a lack of restraint. If we don't have any standards in our homes, we have a lack of restraint. And that's really when people reject or ignore the revealed Word of God. If I know to do it and go ahead and do it, it's sin. We need to have that vision in our homes, in our personal lives, in our church. It's a must. You see, if you don't do that, if you don't set the standards, if you don't have the visions of God's Word in your life and in your home and in a church, then you're open to, and honestly, you're helpless to resist the humanistic ways that the world's teaching. But not only that, the occultic ways the world teaches. Harry Potter, it's occultic. That's where it comes out of. Anymore, Disney. I heard the woman, watch the interview. The woman sit right there that runs Disney now. I watched the interview because I wanted to see her and hear her say it. And she said, if they can't get to your children with transgender stuff in schools, we'll do it through Disney. That right there, click. Get rid of it. It's wrong. And they will get to you. You see, you can't resist the humanistic doctrines or the occultic doctrines of men and devils, because if we don't have the vision in our lives and in our homes and in our churches, we don't have it in our nation no more. This nation was built on this right here. And what have they done? They've set it aside. And we see where it's going. We've got to have that. But now notice this. The one word down there. I like this part. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You want to be happy? I like being happy. I enjoy being happy. Really, it means true happiness and or blessings. And it's found through keeping. And really, you can even see it in the root wording, guarding God's Word, then obeying it and practicing it in our lives. You see, that's really what we need to do. What we need to do is get a hold of this right here and really get a grasp on the teachings and the doctrines of the Word of God and obey it. Don't just read it and say, oh, it's a good story. No, we need to read it, take it in, obey it, and practice it. Because if we are practicing it, people out there are going to see it. So let's spend this year, in closing, obeying God's Word and proclaiming God's Word to a lost and dying world. That's what they need. Because the devil, honestly, has blinded the eyes of people out here. They don't see the danger in all of this stuff. He's blinded the eyes of believers because they just don't see it. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, there is. Computer games. Oh, there's nothing wrong with computer games. You do some research. Google it. It's quick. But you do research and find out what groups of people are behind majority of computer games. Wiccan, occults, they're all behind that. You know why? Because they support satanic worship. They support whatever humans want, whatever we want. They're behind every bit of it. There's a lot of power in it. We look at our government and we're like, how do they have so much power? It's because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with evil powers. Spirit, people can't see it. Same thing with your computer junk. Same thing with all these movies and all these books. It's all the same. It's got that same power behind it. So let's go into the new year with a whole new outlook and say, this right here is going to be the rule of our home. This is going to be the rule of my life. This is what I'm going to go with. Because all of this stuff changes on a constant basis, but this don't. You see, the Lord said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't never going to change, and he'll be right there with you. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.